ride today. He pulled up beside of me. Amen. Amen. I wasn't looking for him, but he sure looked for me. And he's still looking for some folks today. Amen. Amen. I appreciate that good song. I like that. Amen. Well, this evening, I thought I was going to preach on pigs. But it's hard to say, preach on pigs. Pig preaching. Brother David said, I was talking to him earlier. He said, so you're going to preach about me? I said, I'm not a pig. I'm a hog. There's a difference. But that's what I said. But no, I thought we'd look there in Matthew chapter 8 there about how when the Lord cast those demons out in them hogs. And I thought, I don't want to run with the pigs. Amen. There's a bunch of pigs running around. I don't want to run with that crowd. Amen. I'm glad I run with a different crowd. Amen. And there's something I got thinking about that. And I'm not preaching that message tonight. Just something for you to think about. Why was there a herd of pigs there? They should have never been there. You go over there in the law, and the law said they wasn't even supposed to be around a hog. Why were they there? It's a good question why we're around a lot of stuff we ain't supposed to be around too. You can soak on that one, think about it. Why was they there? But we're going to preach on something different. So tonight, some are wishing I didn't. Hello?
Hello.
Is that more better? Great. That's good English, too. More better. Better don't, and more better. All right. This thing here is very precious to me. There's no amount of money in this world that would ever buy that from me. Now, I know Brother Danny knows a lot about pocket watches, and Brother Danny's gave me a pocket watch or two over the years. Brother Danny is nice as that one. I think the one you gave me was 1800 and something. I mean, it's a nice pocket watch, and it's worth a whole lot more money than that pocket watch is to the world. But that pocket watch right there, again, is priceless. Well, preacher, what makes it priceless? This pocket watch belonged to my granddaddy, and there's a lot of memories with this pocket watch. He wore bib overalls most of everywhere. I wanted him to be buried in his overalls, but nobody listens to me anyway. But they buried him in a suit. He did wear a suit to church most of the time. But this little old pocket watch he'd carry in his bib overalls, and my grandma kept a lot of foster youngins over the years, and our babies, and foster babies, and this was a teething ring to many a baby. They'd sit on my grandpa's lap, and he'd give them that pocket watch, and they'd just play with it and chew on it and just slobber all over it. But when my grandpa died, I didn't get this. I wanted it, but I didn't get it. My Uncle JT got it, and I didn't begrudge it. You know, that's his daddy. It's just, but I thought, I always wanted it, and I'd done some work for my uncle, and I don't charge people when I do work most of the time. And he says, well, if you ain't going to take money, let me go get you something. I didn't know what he was going to get me. And he come back in there and put that right there in my hand. And it's just precious to me. It means something to me. You know, again, it has very little monetary value. But one day, Lord willing, I'm going to hand it down to one of my youngins. And I hope it means something to them. You know, it's sad. And not everybody thinks the way I do. I know that. I've talked to people that, you know, somebody's handed something down through generation after generation after generation. And there comes a place in that generation, and I have in my family. There's stuff of my grandpa's that got to other parts of my family. It's probably done been in a pawn shop by now. It didn't mean nothing to them. All it meant to them was a little bit of money. But I'm saying this evening, there's some things in my life that mean something. It's worth something to me. And I want to look at that thought a little bit this evening. Take your Bibles two places this evening. First of all, Deuteronomy chapter 6 this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then Judges chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, Judges chapter 2. You found your place in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's stand together as we read the Word of God together. I've got to find something that makes it look a little bigger. Look with me in chapter 6, verse number 1. We'll give you time to get there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers have promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as a frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou filledest not, and wells digged which thou diggedest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord God, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy sons askest thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, and upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, and for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. Let's pray. Father, I do ask you once again, would you just touch our hearts this evening? God, go beyond our thoughts. Go beyond our brains and our intentions. But God, I pray that you'll speak directly into the hearts of your people. God, we serve a mighty God, and great things you have done. God, help us this evening to realize we're one generation away of seeing you can totally brought out of our country. And God, I pray, Lord, that we as believers tonight would understand the benefits, God, that it is to serve you, and the benefits it is to trust you, and Lord, to want to pass that on to the generations to come. Lord, help us tonight to realize, Lord, that there's something for us to give. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do here tonight, Lord. God, I do pray for lost. God, if there be somebody here, I don't know. I know this is our Sunday night crowd. But Lord, you might speak to hearts this evening. Let them see, God, they're not saved. Lord, I know a lot of unsaved people. Going to be around a lot of unsaved people this week. Lord, I pray, God, you'd help us to be a light and be that salt that others could see, not me, not us, but God, see you. And Lord, we could tell the story, Lord, how you brought us up out of a bonded place. And God, how you freed us and gave us life. I pray, Lord, that'd be our testimony this week. And God, we'll praise you for it. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You be seated this evening. And again, I mentioned about having something to give. Now, I know this evening, we all would like to think that when our time comes, that we'd be able to hand down some things to our children. The sad thing is, in the day that we live in, and I've seen it so many times, and it's so sad, I don't think it's anything new. It's always been there. You can see some examples in the Bible, I even believe, of men that anticipated the death of their daddy just to gain the power and the possessions that daddy had. And I hope this evening that we wouldn't act that way, that we wouldn't have that mindset. I've seen many a family, you know this, you've seen it, you've heard it, and you might have been part of it. And I hope we never get to that. But I've seen many a family this evening that has been slapped apart when mom and daddy dies because they're fussing and feuding over some things. That's mine. No, that's mine. No, that's mine. And this evening, again, I really believe it's smart to maybe want to put some things aside. That when we die, that there'll be things in place. But look, it's just things. As my daddy said, when my grandfather passed away, he brought every one of them in and he set everybody down. He was the executor of state. And he set every one of them down. He said, look, this is the way it's going to be. There's not one thing in this house that we're going to fight over. There's not one thing in here that none of us have to have. And if we can do it in a good way, we'll do it right. But if we can't, he said, I'll sell every bit of it and give you money. He meant it too. Why? Because he didn't want to see those things of my grandfather tear apart the family. But boy, I've seen a lot of families tore apart. And again, you might be here this evening, and just like this watch. Again, this watch means more to me than money ever will be. I'll get this watch and it brings back so many memories. And again, I look forward to maybe one day passing that down to my children or my grandchildren. But again, it won't mean that to them. And probably one day that'll probably be sold at a yard sale or pawn shop. Who can tell? But I'm glad this evening, according to the Word of God, that you and I have the opportunity, and not only the opportunity, but God has told us, just as he's told the nation of Israel here in these commandments, as God is laying some things down, he's given them some commandments and some statutes and some things that he has set in their lives, and he gives them the reasoning for those things, that they could prosper, that they could grow, that they could have a walk and a communion with God. And God has told them, as you prosper, as you grow, as you increase, as your children come along and your children's children come along, he wanted them and he desired for them to share, to hand that down to the next generation. And I'm saying that in our day, I believe with all my heart, we have lost that time in some generations. There's some gaps that didn't get that passed down to. There's people that didn't take the seriousness of what God has given us and how important God told us it is, and see that if there's anything that I want my children to have, if there's anything that I want my grandchildren to get a hold of, boy, wouldn't it be God? And what God can do and what God will do, that is the greatest testimony. That is the greatest inheritance. Now look, my children are not going to go to heaven because daddy's going to heaven. My grandchildren are not going to go to heaven because their grandpa went to heaven. But I'm glad that I can share with them. I can testify. I can let them see the reality of a God that will save them. And more than money, and we spend so much building our houses and building our bank accounts that, again, you're not going to take it with you. Somebody's going to fight over it. The government's going to take most of it. But I'm glad the things that I can instill in my children. Boy, my grandpa never knew. And again, I don't think grandpa's in heaven looking over the side this afternoon. But I can see now so clearly. I think about all my grandpa. I don't understand why he did that, but I see more of it today. My grandpa talked to me more than, and showed me more than I couldn't understand. He had no idea at that time that I was going to be a pastor. But he sure was instilling some things in my life, some work ethic, some things that God had showed him how it was right to do these things. And he instilled those things in our lives. And I'm saying this evening, as we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God is telling Israel that he has blessed them and he has helped them and he's going to give them this land and how they need to take what God... He tells them, look, you're getting something you didn't even work for. But I want you to share it. I want you to give it to your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children. And friend, tonight, church, we need to realize tonight it's our privilege, it's our responsibility tonight to take what God has given us and not take it for granted and understand how precious it is and how we need to share it with all these generations. That's what's so wonderful. You know, thank God for our church family. But listen, these bus routes, and I'm not setting them, we don't separate, they're part of us. But I'm saying a lot of these kids that we're bringing in, we have the opportunity to tell them something that mom and daddy ain't got. And I'm not bragging, I'm not puffing up. But we've got an opportunity to instill something in them that when they get saved and serve God, the generations after them can get something from what they got. And what a privilege it is to understand this gift, this prize, this possession that God has put inside an earthen vessel that we could hand it down to generations to come. Now, look with me over in the book of Judges. I want us to look at what happened here with the nation of Israel. Again, we're going to read several scriptures tonight. Judges chapter 2, look with me this evening. It says, and the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. And that's what we were just talking about. And have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Aren't you glad tonight that God's promises aren't dependent on what we do with it? Verse 2, and he shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Why have you done that? Verse 3, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voices and wept. God pricked their heart. God did a revival to the nation of Israel here. God let them see how far they had come from the promises of God and what God had instilled in them. They had lost it. But now God has showed them that they're that far away and their hearts were pricked. And instead of running away from God, they cried unto God. Verse 5, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Verse 8, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnah-Heres in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Here's a generation that God had blessed, that God had delivered, that they had seen the hand of God do mighty works and deliver them. They inherit, that they repent, they get back in agreement with God, and God gives them the land, and they're possessing their land, and here their leader died, and the elders died, and the Bible says there's a generation that came up. And what sad verse, what sad words. Look at it. Let's see, where'd it go? Verse 10. Also that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose a generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Isn't it a shame that here's a group of people that their daddies and their grandfathers saw the mighty works of God? But here's a generation that not just didn't know the Lord, but had never even heard what God had done for them. Boy, it'd be sad if your children didn't know you were saved. It'd be sad if your children never saw how important the Word of God was to you and the things of God. But that's exactly what we see here. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. See what it brings? I wonder why America's in the situation it's in. When we do not follow and we do not pass on the torch of God, the generation that's coming up behind us will not go after God, but they'll go after the things of this world. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of their land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. See, I'm glad this evening, and I see that, we'll get to this in a minute maybe, but let me go ahead and throw this out in case I don't get back to there. Here's a generation that God tells us, not only did they not know the Lord, and not only did they not know what God had done for their fathers and their grandfathers, but here's a generation that turned their back on the gods of their fathers and served the gods of that land and forsook the Lord and followed after the devil and sought evil. And God waxed his heart against that nation, and they did not prosper and they did not grow in the grace of God. But I'm glad this evening there's still hope. I've heard a preacher preach one time about, and there is a truthness to this, about this third generation. When you look in the Bible and you follow the generations of biblical men, many times that third generation, and that's what we have here, is a third generation. That third generation many times will not serve God. Now, I'm not saying every time, but there's a good chance. Why? Because that first generation, they saw the power of God. They were involved with the things of God. And then that second generation, because the first generation's experience, now they're living inside the land of milk and honey. So, hey, we don't need God anymore. We got it made. And by the time their children comes along, they don't even know who God is. Boy, I see that so many times in people's lives today. Boy, it'd be sad that I look at my grandbabies and think, they might not ever even serve God. That'd be the third generation. But I'm glad that God brought in some judges. I'm glad that God brought in some people that would step on the scene. And even though that God's heart had waxed cold against this nation and these people, God still loved them and God still wanted. And I'm saying this evening with that thought of third, what is the third generation? We're all a part of some generation. I'm the third generation between my grandfather, my daddy, and me. My grandpa was saved. My daddy's saved. I'm saved. So I'm glad that odds didn't fall through on that one. But I'm saying this evening, I'm saying tonight, hey, just don't let the thought in your mind think, well, there's no hope. No, there's hope. God wants to raise up some people that'll grab the torch once again and stand up for the things of God and raise up a generation that loves God and teach people to love God so they too can carry that torch on one more generation. That's the reason we do Bible club. That's the reason we have Sunday school. That's the reason we have vacation Bible school. Why? Because we want people to hear about what God is and has done and what God will do. And that's what God does here for the nation of Israel. So we see again in Deuteronomy there, we saw how God had instructed them. And again, God didn't do this just as a recommendation. You know, it'd be good if you did this. That's not what God said. God says, you don't understand this. You can't see this. But I'm telling you now, you need to obey this. You need to take this at heart. And you need to hold these things close to your heart. And they need to be passed on from generation to generation. Why? Because you'll have my blessings. And I'll work in your life. And I'll increase your goods. And that's what God was letting the nation of Israel see. And we see here how quickly they turn their backs away from God. And over through the book of Judges, that's the same routine. God raises them up. They turn their backs on God. They fall down. I'm saying this evening, you and I, just like this little watch, this is important to me. But it's more important to me that my daughter knows how much me and Mama love the Lord. Because I want them to see that's what's helped Mom and Daddy. That's what's got Mom and Daddy this far. And they need it in their lives. And they need it in their families' lives. And they'll need it in their children's lives. See, we need to pass this torch down to the next generation. Who's going to pick it up? Hey, not to get you all bummed out this evening, we're not getting any younger. Hey, there's many of us. We're on the short row of life. I know we don't like to think about that. It's like my daddy. We had a friend of ours, 81 years old. I didn't realize he's 81. Passed away this week. And my daddy says, that's not old. When you're 75 or whatever daddy is, 81 ain't that old. But it used to be, didn't it? Somebody needs to pick up. Hey, we got people teaching Sunday school classrooms. Or Sunday school classes. Who's going to teach it when they're gone? If we don't raise up somebody to love the Lord and see the need, that'll die themselves and teach and study and want God to do something through them. Who's going to preach? Who's going to sing? Who's going to play the instruments? Who's going to drive the buses? See, somebody has to come in behind us or it dies. We need to understand that we've got something. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6 there. God's saying, you need to understand how precious this thing is that you've got. And our generations after us need to understand, hey, it was only by the grace of God. And that same God that helped us is the same God that will help you. You need Him. Just like I needed Him and still do need Him. So again, we're talking about this one generation away from not seeing anybody serving the Lord. Ain't that sad? Some of us older folks, these young people don't know nothing about this, but some of us older folks, if you can think back just a few years ago, would you ever dream that you lived in an area like we live in where there's thousands of people in our area that have no idea who God is? I'm 47 years old, but where I grew up, church was important. Everybody in our community went to church. Not saying they were all saved, but they went to church. Church was important. The Word of God was important. They knew who God was. But you would be amazed within a mile of this church, the number of people that have no thought of who God is. When I grew up, they taught you John 3:16 in the public school. They don't do that no more, do they? Can you see the generation that's growing up today that has no idea of what God has done for us? It saddens me that they don't even know what God has done through our history and how God has taken men and formed our country. But greater than that, that they don't know who God is. So I'm saying this evening, we need to understand how precious what God has given us and how we should want to pass that down. Just like ladies, maybe you got something you want your daughter, a jewelry or something that you know that you're going to pass down to a daughter. Or you know, my daddy's got my grandpa's double barrel shotgun. One day it'll be mine. And I'm excited to say, well, I can't wait to get that. But I might die before he does and I'll never get it. It means a lot because that's my granddaddy's. But greater than that, more to be able able to pass down to the generations to come the God of my granddaddy. That's what we need to see. And that's what God's showing them that they did not do. They turned their backs on God, and there was a generation that came up that did not know the Lord and did not know what God had done for the generation before them. I wonder where that is today in our lives. Now, everybody likes to try to figure out whose fault it was. It's always somebody else's fault, right? But in this instance, whose fault was it that this generation didn't know the Lord? It's the parents. Because God told the parents to tell the children. Is it going to be our fault that our children or our grandchildren? Don't leave it up to the Sunday school teacher. Don't leave it up to the preacher. It's your responsibility, Mama and Daddy and Grandma and Grandpa, to live a life in front of your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that they can see how serious God is in your life. So whose fault was it? It was the parents' fault. We see the results in verse 22. Because this generation, the Bible says, they forsook the Lord God and their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed another god or other gods and the gods of people that were round about them. See what it caused? And this is the same things it causes today. They don't have a desire for the true and one living God, but they'll turn their backs and have a desire for the gods of this world. I've already mentioned this, but there's something very interesting here that I want to point out this evening again. And verse 8 says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. Joshua, the great man of God, Joshua, that leader that God had put in place, is dead. Who's going to lead him now? I'm saying this evening, we need some leaders. We need some people that will stand up and say, I love God and I'll serve God and I'll leave my home and I'll leave my family. Remember what Joshua said? For who? For me and my? We're going to what? But he's dead now. It amazes me and it saddens me also. It happened in our home or in our family. When my grandma and grandpa both died, our family just went, pfft. Boy, we used to get together Christmas, and Mother's Days, Father's Days, birthdays. And now we don't hardly ever even see them. That one that glue that sticks the family together, when they're gone, many times the families will fall apart. And here Joshua, that man of God, has died. And now there's a generation that's coming on that don't know the Lord. We need to get back into the game of serving God. And I say game, and it's not a game, but I'm saying we need to get back into the working of God and raise up some people to be leaders in our day. I'm more worried, and again, I'm worried about our country. I really am. But I believe if we could raise up some good spiritual leaders, I believe God can do something in our country. So I'm saying this evening there's a need for leadership. Let me just jump in straight to this and we'll be done this evening. I want you to see the results of a generation missing God. Look at verse number 20. Here of Judges chapter 2. It says, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Well, wouldn't it be sad tonight to know that God was angry? But maybe he is angry. You spit in my face and I'd be angry. You curse me and I'd be angry. You kill the babies, that'd make me angry. But here the Bible says that God loves everybody. Is that not the mess that people want to shove down the throats of most people? God's love. God, well, this ain't God's love right here. This is God's anger. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. I've seen my anger of my daddy get hot. It wasn't pretty. Probably the hottest I ever seen my daddy was when my brother laughed at him when he was trying to spank him. He wasn't laughing when daddy was done. Anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice. First of all, they transgressed. They missed the mark. Why? Because their fathers didn't do what they were supposed to do. Hey, daddies, it's important for your children to see you serving God. So we see they missed the mark, verse 20. Verse 21, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. Not only did they transgress, but God turned away from them. God says, I will not drive that force away from you. Well, we need the Lord. But God says, I'm not going to help them. Verse 22, that through them I may prove Israel. Now, what does that mean? Remember when we studied the book of Revelations on Wednesday night? We talked about all those judgments, all that's going to come on the nation of Israel. What was it for? It was to prove them. And that's exactly what God's saying here. He says that through them I may prove Israel. Israel's going to take a whooping. Israel's going to be hurt. Why? All because a generation didn't heed what God told them to do and didn't pass the torch on to the next generation. So verse 20, they transgress. Verse 21, God turns away. Verse 22, we see the trials towards Israel. He says, again, that through them I may prove Israel, where they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. And then last of all, verse 23, therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. I see the tragedy. All because they didn't take it serious. All because they lost sight of how precious what God had done. And again, three generations. A generation that saw God bring them up out of Egypt. A generation that saw God bring them through all those days there, traveling through that time of hurt, all that, and all that God had did, and how God drove away, and how God made a way through the Red Sea, and all those things, they saw God. And a generation that they saw God bring them into the Promised Land, a place that was flowing with milk and honey, a place that they're reaping things that they didn't plant. To a generation that totally did not know the Lord. See, this evening, we need to understand as parents, and not just parents. Hey, young people, if the Lord don't come back in 20 years, you're going to be parents. That's scary. No. They need to understand the importance of passing many of the things that I know how to do physically. I didn't wake up one day and think, you know, I know how to plant a garden. I wasn't born with that knowledge. You know where that knowledge came from? From a granddaddy, from a daddy to me. And it's sad to say, my children probably couldn't plant a garden. I don't know. But I'm saying, see, that's the reason we've got to understand the importance, as every generation needs to see that they need the Lord. I'm saying this evening, we got a torch to pass, and we need to pass the torch. Well, I ain't planning on getting off the scene no time soon. Well, I ain't either, but somebody's going to fill this pulpit one day. Now, there's a lot of people who would like to fill the pulpit, but I don't think they'll be the ones you want. There's a lot of wolves. It wouldn't take nothing to get a wolf in here. They love to be in a place like this. But I don't want a wolf in here. I want a pastor to be here. what you have, again, I don't know what my granddaddy paid for this watch. I ain't got a clue where it came from, to be honest with you. I got a suspicion it came from the Brindles. Anybody remember Brindles? Yeah, they're gone. He gave me that. Probably didn't cost him hardly anything, but it means a lot to me. I'm saying that spiritually, you might think what you've got is not important. You don't realize how important what you've got is to the generations to come. If you're trying to drive them and teach them to the things of God. Think about what God's done for you. Great and mighty things He has done. I want to share it. I hope you do. Let's stand together this evening.